Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about alien encounters and paranormal experiences with Nigel Watson from the United Kingdom, who has been an expert in this area for the past 35 years. And we're going to get into his book, which is a revisited version of Portraits of Alien Encounters. So, you know, it's interesting doing some research on Nigel and his work, where it takes a very one-step removed view of aliens and ETs and all things paranormal. And he's recorded stuff and done research for many, many years. And you would think that he'd come on the show and he'd be bringing so much, like, what about this, what about that? But he's actually a real Doubting Thomas, if you will. And I think you're going to enjoy our conversation, because we're going to get into a whole bunch of obvious topics about what's going on Earth, what's going on the moon and the universe. Is there a big Atlas ship heading towards Earth that we don't know about? What happened in Roswell, Area 51, abductions, what really happens? Who's behind that? Can they do reverse technology on a lot of the UFOs that are supposedly crashed into the desert and other areas and have been retrieved? Who are the Greys, the Dracos, the reptilians? Do they actually exist? Are there ETs living under the ocean? Are they under the ground? There's so many questions, and it's interesting. I think you'll find fascinating, actually, that Nigel's approach to this and his perspective is one as a researcher. He doesn't just buy in and, you know, follow the shiny object. He really asks a lot of questions, and he's not what I would call a true believer on all this stuff. He believes what the research tells him. So be a really interesting conversation.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to bring in a new guest. His name is Nigel Watson. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's been researching and investigating historical and contemporary reports of UFO sightings since way back in the 1970s. He writes a monthly column, Saucers of the Damned, about UFOs for 4TN Times, and regularly writes book reviews for the Pelicanist Blogspot. He's got a degree in film and literature from the University of Warwick, a degree in psychology from Open University. He used to be a copywriter. My background is advertising also. You know, instead of wrestling with theories and speculation, what's great of everything I've read about Nigel, he speaks directly with ordinary people like our audience. And I say that with a high compliment there, regular people, real people who have reported seeing UFOs and a wide range of startling associated phenomena that in the past were considered by UFO investigators as too far-fetched or crazy. So the perfect person for our show. And he's got a new book. It's called Portraits of Alien Encounters Revisited, High Strangeness, British UFO Cases. Coming to us from the UK today, from Plymouth, Nigel Watson. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio.
Hi. Nice to be here. Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning. What drew you to UAPs and UFOs, and when did you start to follow your passion for it?
It was in the late 60s I got interested in the Apollo space missions. They were getting in the headlines at that time. There's the Apollo 8 mission that went around the moon. And then there's a kind of escalation. There's quite a lot of Apollo missions leading up to Apollo 11, which led to the moon landing. And I kind of got caught up with the enthusiasm about space exploration. And then I started to look at books on astronomy. And then my local library had a few books on UFOs. Not a great collection, just two or three books. But I was more interested in UFOs because they seemed to be something that was visiting us in the present day. And these books, they ranged from a kind of a sensational contactee cases like that of George Adamski, who said he met a humanoid alien called Orphon, and then he later went on to describe rides in flying saucers and meetings with humanoid aliens in sort of diners and in everyday life. And not everyone took him very seriously, although he was quite an important influence on the early part of the subject. And then there were some more serious books, the kind of Donald Keough books that were more about saucers seen by military personnel and by airline pilots. And I think Donald Keough was trying to make it more of a scientifically valid form of study, whereas the contactees were just regarded as, you know, crackpots and sensation seekers. But in Britain, early versions of Flying Saucer Review, that became a very important magazine in the 70s.
Let me ask you, from your own personal experience, you've been doing this for like close to 50 years.
Yeah.
What has changed? What have you learned? What are the big milestones and the big changes over that 50-year period? Because way back then, obviously, it was very primitive in terms of people's understanding or even consideration. Now, disclosure is on the tips of a lot of people's tongues, and people are talking about disclosure like coming fast at us. What's your take, and what have you learned over the years?
Well, I've learned that the subject's always evolving. In the 60s, there was a Betty and Barney Hill case, which was the first sort of abduction case that really got a lot of publicity. And that was another case that got transported throughout the world. And John Fuller's book, Interrupted Journey, I think was well known in Britain. And although it was understood by British ufologists, it seemed to be a bit of a one-off case. Like in Britain, we didn't really have many abduction cases. It was only a bit later in the sort of 1970s and into the 1980s that we actually got a few abduction cases, mainly when people were conducting hypnotic regression on UFO experiences. Mm-hmm. But we've never really used hypnotic regression much in the UK.
So for yourself, Have you ever had any personal experiences with any type of UFOs, ETs, etc.?
I've only seen odd lights in the sky. I was once getting up early in the morning and getting my bicycle out of a shed at the bottom of a garden, and I looked up and I saw this light moving over the sky. But I sort of thought, oh, it's probably a satellite or something, and I didn't really come up with any real answer to it. It just looked a bit unusual, and I think sometimes when I've been out at night looking at the sky, I've seen some odd lights move about,
Okay.
but not really much to really prove anything.
Okay. But you've done a heck of a lot of research, and the new book is called Portraits of Alien Encounters Revisited, and it's a series, it's part of a series of books. How did you map that out, and how do they work together, Nigel?
All right. Well, with this book, it was originally put together in 1990 as just as Portraits of Alien Encounters, and that compiled a lot of the investigations I did in the 70s and early 80s, and they were published in the original chapters were published in like Merseyside UFO Bulletin, which followed the theories of John Keel, and I kind of put the book together, but I didn't really get to publish it until 1990, and now, 35 years later, I thought it was a good opportunity to reshape the book and add some new information. So I've added some new cases and some of the newer theories about these type of cases, things like sleep paralysis and false memory syndrome, and all the other sort of theories that have come out in recent years. But I've also added a bit to some of the older chapters, and just I think it's made it a better book, really. It's a bit more cohesive.
Okay.
But I've not tried to push any agenda, really. So I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to prove aliens are landing on Earth or communicating with people. I'm kind of just presenting the stories from the witnesses' point of view.
Okay.
So I've often written it up in their words, and I try not to influence them, by sort of
Okay.
discussing theories with them.
Okay. Nigel Watson, my special guest on Guys Radio today. We're talking about paranormal, UFOs, UAPs, whatever you want to call them. And he's been doing it for about 50 years. You mentioned Barney and Betty Hill abductions back in 1961 in your book. What was the significance of their abduction and what did they experience?
I think one of the main aspects of a case was this element of missing time, which was later picked up by Bud Hopkins, who become a major abduction researcher in the 80s and 90s. And there's that, so in a way, it often you do get in UFO cases where people see something. Well, they'd been on a short trip to Canada, and they were coming back home to New Hampshire, and they saw a light following the car, until eventually Barney stopped the car and got outside, and he seemed to see this craft in the distance, and he had a pair of binoculars, and he looked at it, and it seemed to have a row of windows with figures at control panels, and he saw what seemed to be the leader, who seemed to be in a Nazi uniform. So that really spooked him, and he ran back to the car and drove off as fast as
So it's an
possible.
alien, an ET in a Nazi uniform. That's what they saw. Okay.
And so that really frightened him, and then they drove off, and they still saw this light following them. And then I think we got to somewhere called Cobrook, and after that they couldn't remember the rest of the journey. And when we got home, they realized 2 hours of time had been missing, and Betty was the most upset by this, whereas Barney wanted to just keep it quiet. He didn't believe in UFOs, and he didn't really want to publicize it. But Betty was a bit more extrovert and outgoing, and she kind of looked for all the sort of UFO books she could find and find out more about the subject. And she started having nightmares about being abducted. That continued for a couple of weeks, I think. And she wrote down the notes about her dreams. And then over the
Did she
next
get
few years,
hypnotized then to do a kind of regression?
A lot later, she got hypnotized with Barney, well, separately, because Barney was having a lot of health issues. So he was having hypnosis for therapeutic reasons. And when Barney was hypnotized, he was taken back to this UFO event. And that's when the story of him being dragged from his car up a ramp into a flying saucer. And he was examined by these alien crew. And Betty was separately hypnotized. And she likewise said she was examined by the aliens that were approximately humanoid, but they seemed to have long noses and were slightly different
So they weren't
to
greys.
human. No, they weren't greys. And, but she had a bit more of a discussion with a leader, and she was shown a star map, and I think she was also shown a book that she wanted to take with her to prove that it wasn't a dream or anything. But like in old fairy stories, she wasn't allowed to take any evidence. And then later, the star map has been, she could only draw it out of her memory, and it was then tried to be matched with star systems, on our own astronomical maps. Zeta Reticuli seemed to be where they came from, but there's been lots of debate about the validity of these maps. Like she drew dots and lines that were like trading routes, she said, but because there's so many star systems out there and matching
So
star
it
fields.
wasn't a positive experience for them, but they came out of it, I guess,
No,
okay.
I think although Betty had nightmares about it, she seemed kind of rejuvenated by it all, and she gave public lectures on it, and she from then on started looking for UFOs in the sky, and she told some quite sort of outrageous stories about different paranormal events happening to her. And but she was taken up by the old subject, whereas Barney just kept in the background and didn't want anything to do with it. And I think it's a good case because it did change people's minds about alien abductions. It took us away from just thinking about just unmanned craft in the atmosphere. And it was in the 70s with a Travis Walton case and a few other famous cases, like abduction cases hit the headlines. It was sort of mainly an American phenomenon, although a lot of things like that seemed to happen in Brazil and South America as well, but they were less publicized in the mainstream. But UFO magazines publish lots of these stories, but I think the mainstream audience didn't really know much about these things. And I think it was only with, say, Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of a Third Kind, like he kind of stitched a lot of these stories together and had the old thing about the military being taken into the UFO and also civilians being telepathically contacted and urging them to go where the UFO was going to land. And that's quite a spectacular film about abduction. The little boy is abducted into the woods, but you don't see him go into a craft or anything, but you see him running into the woods, and it's quite a frightening scene.
All right. Nigel Watson, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Portraits of Alien Encounters Revisited is his new book. It's redo of a with added content from a book you put out in the 90s. So from what you've heard, since you've done so much research, what are the similarities that people have had who've been abducted and who's abducting them? What are the races that are abducting them? What are the experience? What have been the consistencies? And you, as an expert researcher, what has been your takeaway?
Well, a lot of abductions seem to occur in the dead of night on a highway, like the Betty Barney Hill case, but frequently they occur in people's bedrooms, and people see aliens at the bottom of a bed or other weird entities. And I think a lot of them can be attributed to sleep paralysis, where you cannot move your body and you have a kind of lucid dream. And quite a few people experience them, and in the terms of alien figures in their bedroom.
So they're
But
dreaming, or it's happening in their bedroom,
well, I think it's more than
or
just an
both.
ordinary dream. Some people say they know the difference between a dream and these alien experiences. So I think it's hard to determine what these people are experiencing. And also, a lot of these cases, people then say they're kind of levitated and passed through walls and beamed up into a spaceship. And then there's this whole scenario inside a spaceship, a flying saucer, where
Like a
people say
examination.
they're examined. So there's that element from the Betty and Barney Hill case, but they seem to be abducted by what you might call a traditional flying saucer, you know, the sort of craft you saw in Lost in Space or The Day the Earth Stood Still, whereas the later ones are like people in the
More
dead of night
humanoid, more
being,
humanoid, yeah.
yeah, being levitated and moved. And also there's the old thing about some women say they've been impregnated and have hybrid children that are sort of
What do you think? What do
harvested
you
from
think,
them.
Nigel? What do you
Well,
believe? You've heard it all, and what do you believe?
I think these are just exceptional. They're not abnormal, but they're exceptional experiences. And I don't think there's any physical proof of these events happening. I know some researchers have said, oh, people have woken up with their feet covered in soil or scratches and things. But there's quite a history of people sleepwalking and doing things in their sleep. And there have been cases where people have said they were abducted, but their partner was in bed with them and said, you know, they have never actually moved away from that bedroom. So I think it's a kind of intense experience that these people have. And it's interesting that they're shaped in terms of a UFO, I suppose you call it the UFO mythology, because over time these experiences are shaped in the way popular culture illustrates aliens. So this thing about you know, large-headed aliens with almond eyes become a big thing in the 80s and 90s. Whitley Strieber's communion book with a cover of the
Right,
alien
Whitley
head,
Strieber, right.
that had a big impression on people, and some people just couldn't read the book because they recognized that face. So I suppose some people would argue that, you know, there's some sort of alien influence from outside that's causing these experiences. But I think it's more likely to be in terms of internal experiences and psychological triggers. But I can't really prove that any more than I can prove that aliens are beaming messages into our minds. But I think that's what fascinates me, that you know, you get stories from very credible people. You know, the people I talk to in my book are mainly down to earth people, but we've got some really exceptional experiences. And you know, some of them, the later ones, do involve somebody when he was 11-year-old finding himself on an examination table. And it was kind of corroborated by his sister a few years later, who said at about the same time she used to see balls of light outside her bedroom window. So I think over time, because of the dominance of this alien abduction subject, people are more likely to interpret unusual experiences or encounters in terms of aliens. But even the people I spoke to, are often confused about what could
Okay,
be causing
got
these
it.
things,
All right, let me ask you this. What do you think that people need to know about this phenomena? From what you're saying is some people may be dreaming it, some people have been examined, they've been put back, they've lost time, and some there's you haven't really clarified what different types of aliens, quote unquote aliens, these beings are. But what do you think's been happening? And what do you think the government's role has been in filtering the information about this to the population?
I think that the government and all governments genuinely don't know what UFOs are, and you do get cases that hit the headlines where pilots or there's some really good sightings of something, but you get famous cases like Roswell, where people
Right.
there's so many witness accounts and stories surrounding it. But I think the problem there is that people think the wreckage or bodies were taken to Area 51, but that would be a good way of getting disclosure if you could actually go into f Area 51 and see, reverse engineering facilities or aliens and that sort of thing. But I don't think that's going to happen, because I think the old Roswell situation is something that's escalated over time and isn't based on fact, if you know what I mean. It's just based on a mogul secret balloon crashing there, and then the story over the years has got more complex. And even nowadays, you get people turning up using Roswell to promote certain ideas.
Why would they have that area kind of cornered off where people can't, you can't just drive up to Area 51? Why is there so much security there if it was just a balloon?
I think that's because they do test secret aircraft and facilities for building these secret aircraft and maneuvers. So I think a lot, most governments have secret areas for testing and operations.
So you don't think that
But
alien crafts have crashed and they've been reverse engineered?
no, I don't think they have, because if they had been reverse engineering this marvelous technology, why is the American government pumping billions into the SpaceX missions that are promoted by Elon Musk? If we have a technology to operate in the magical way UFOs and UAPs are supposed to operate, why aren't we using the reversed alien technology rather than pumping money into traditional terrestrial technology? And you could argue that even if we did find alien technology, would we be able to reverse engineer it anyway? Because you think even 100 years ago, if you gave somebody an iPad, it would be impossible for them to reverse engineer it, because there just wasn't the technological infrastructure and discoveries to create that.
Okay.
So,
Well,
I think it's the other thing about government disclosure is, what do people want the government to disclose? Most governments now have released archives of UFO material, but most of it is pretty pedestrian. It's not any
and you don't
smoking
think that's
gun
on
about.
purpose? Let me interrupt you. You don't think that's on purpose?
I think you could argue that we're just releasing all the dross and keeping the best. And I think the problem is there's a lot of misinformation about what's going on. You get people like the ex-CIA whistleblowers, but some of them are spreading misinformation as well, whether wittingly or unwittingly. I think sometimes they're promoting cases that have been long known to be hoaxes, and so
So let me ask you this, Nigel. Do you think that you don't think, or do you think that there is technology that the governments, world governments have that hasn't been released for whatever reasons? For instance, we still drive cars the same way we did 1970s. Our airplanes to go from one coast to the other coast still takes 5 or 6 hours. You don't think they've developed the technology to cut that down over in over 50 years?
Well, I think with technology, like we developed Concorde, and we have a moon landings, and now, sort of nearly 50 years later, we still don't have supersonic aircraft, or and we. Attempts at going back to the moon are mainly unmanned vehicles at the moment. Perhaps because in the 60s they pumped a lot of money into these projects, so we were able to get going a bit faster. But
You don't think in the, from the time that the quote unquote moon landing occurred, that technology hasn't moved forward so they could do that like a lot faster, a lot easier? And for some reason, maybe that's been held back, and maybe it's because what's going on the moon. I don't know. What do you think?
It's possible, but I'm just skeptical about all these stories of government secrets, because even Donald Keogh in the 50s was saying, the government's suppressing all this evidence, but nothing ever comes of it. And I think that's the problem, that you can't keep trying to push for disclosure, but nothing seems to really get to
So you don't think
to
they know. You don't think you think whatever
no
they know is it's out there. You think whatever technology that exists is being used. You don't think anything's being held
no
back.
because I think another
You think
aspect of
do you
this is
think like with automobiles, that's the only way to propel a car? I mean, it's taken all this time and now we have electric cars. You don't think there's any other sources, 0 point energy, anything like that that could be fueling vehicles?
I think
There's a, you know, there's
a
a
lot
big
of
business in
agents
oil.
yeah I think a lot of agencies might be working on these
Okay.
projects, but they all seem to be really difficult. Electric batteries, solar panels, they seem to be very achievable, but they're more expensive. And with electric vehicles, you need a new infrastructure of
Sure.
charging. So there seems to be quite a few barriers to getting more efficient or moderner technology. And I think another thing is that there isn't just a government. A government has so many different agencies and contractors, particularly in America. And people say Lockheed Martin has developed secret technology from alien sources, but there again, you get a lot of rumors, like the FBI knows more than the CIA, or the United States Air Force knows this and they know that, or the CIA has admitted that their spy planes in the 60s probably caused a lot of UFO sightings. But then that doesn't explain sightings elsewhere in the world. It only explains a certain section of sightings.
What do
And
you
I think
think of let me just change the subject. Let me what do you think of some of these spaceships have purportedly been seen going into the ocean?
That's a big area of study at the moment. I think Richard Dolan's got a book on, submersible objects. These sort of sightings have gone on. Even in the 1930s, I've come across stories of people seeing sort of lights going into the sea. Probably a lot of those were fireballs and that kind of thing. And I think when something goes over the horizon, it appears to be going, into the sea, where it's just gone out of view because it's gone beyond the horizon. So I think you have to look at each of those instances in in its own context. But there
Okay.
are a lot of stories about people seeing illuminated objects beneath the ocean surface. And I think there were
Right.
rumors that there was a kind of sort of UFOs operating from an undersea base
What do you think of
in the
that?
North Sea.
What do you think of that?
But I'm not convinced really, because I think there'd have to be nuts and bolts craft that are going into the ocean, and I don't really know why you would be doing this, but I suppose it'd be more feasible if you were invading our planet that you'd visit our oceans, because that's the biggest area on our planet's surface. But
Oh, so well, let me ask you this. My special guest, once again, Nigel Watson. Forgive me for interrupting, but I want to get some specifics because I love the fact that you're a researcher and you don't take anything, you don't glom onto any theory and say, oh, that's got to be it. But I want to get your opinion on some of these things because you are so neutral, and I say that as a positive. About all these subjects because you do so much research. There's been a lot of talk lately about disclosure and like the existence of a galactic alliance with all these different extraterrestrial groups that meet together and that the Earth is in kind of a position where there's a ship heading towards Earth and it's got a lot of smaller ships attached to it and things like that. Is that all like poo-poo in your opinion or what? How do you research stuff like that? There's a lot of talk about these things, right?
Obvious thing about huge objects in space, and then scout craft and things. That was something George Adamski wrote about way back in the 50s. He spoke about motherships and scout craft, which had become a kind of element of a subject. And it seemed logical at that time that because UFOs or flying saucers or whatever seemed pretty small, they must have been coming from a bigger craft in Earth orbit or something. Or or they were transporting, and the motherships were coming from the moon or elsewhere in the solar system. But I think in a way, modern day UAP research has incorporated a lot of stuff from the past, often unwittingly. But you've got a lot of people now saying, oh, there's these huge interstellar objects entering our solar system. And but the big question mark, is it alien, or is it just, an object or a comet or some piece of space, natural space junk that's coming towards us? And I think because of this UAP craze, people have set up organizations with different aims, like even NASA is trying to track any UFOs that come up into their detection,
How about
using near
reports of
detection.
how about reports of like Dracos, reptilians, greys, insectoids that you like, no, that's not proven, or are you open to that, or it's just like, okay, I read about that, but I'm not buying. What's your take on all these different species?
I'm open to that, because I think in my book I mentioned the kind of things people see are reflect their own concerns. So if you're really fearful of alien abduction or invasion, the aliens tend to be insectoid or reptoids, or quite revolting creatures of some sort. So there's a negative
I
aspects
can
of an alien are often depicted in the shape of the alien, whereas the good aliens tend to be the Nordic humanoids or some that look like angelic beings that radiate light. In my book, I mention a few angelic type aliens that people have either said before they've seen or they've got impressions in their mind. Quite a lot of the cases I mention are about people getting alien messages through meditation and almost in altered states of consciousness. And I think that's another aspect of it. I think if you're experiencing sleep paralysis or fatigue, hunger, or things like that, that could influence you into having
Right.
these strange
Yeah.
experiences. But you know, I don't want to. I think what I'm trying to do is look at the subject from different perspectives, and I've got no agenda, but I think it's best to look at these things from all sides. And I think, you know, the problem with something like Roswell is it had all this massive publicity at the very beginning that they joyfully said they'd captured a flying disc. And then the next day, yeah, they said it was a weather balloon. And I think either that was a really good way of covering up something, or it's a, but what were they covering up? Some people would say they were just covering up a mogul balloon project that was being used to listen into any Soviet nuclear testing, and these balloons had sensors and were a lot larger than a weather balloon. And so when the Roswell incident happened, you know, people think, you know, what they thought was a flying disc because we weren't told about this project
Okay.
initiated the show
So
story.
I got it. So
But, you know,
what do, in your opinion, what do people need to know, and how should they feel about the whole UFO phenomenon? You've been studying this thing for 50 years. It sounds like you're very neutral. You've like you got to prove it for you to buy into it. And even some of these stories you say could be dreams. You're like, okay, well, they say they've seen that, and Roswell could have been a balloon, and that's what they said. I get it, and I think that's great because you're not falling in. On and you're not chasing rainbows with this, if you will. So, what do people really need to know about this?
I think if you're an experiencer, I think you've got to know that it's not an abnormal experience. I think, yeah, I've just got a sampling of people who have all these strange experiences. And but I think there's probably hundreds more people who have had similar experiences. So I wouldn't say it was anything abnormal, but you have to consider there's different categories, and I think sometimes a person will have a trigger event, like Betty and Barney Hill had
Right.
this abduction thing, but then Betty reported all sorts of other strange things afterwards. And perhaps people get alerted to anything strange that happens in their life, because of some UFO event, or if they see an alien or something, and
Okay.
then they're looking for anything that might seem strange, particularly things like coincidences or
Okay.
things like losing things, you know, or things, you know,
Right.
like poltergeist activity. And I think that's something we kind of got into in the 70s with John Keel's
Okay.
talk
We're
about
running
what
out of
he
time,
calls it.
Nigel. So,
Yeah,
Nigel
sorry.
Watson, our very special guest, forgive me for interrupting again. Portraits of Alien Encounters Revisited, the new book, which is based on a previous book and updated with lots of juicy new content. Where can people find you, and where can they get the book real quick?
You can get it on Amazon or any other online retailer, and people can look on my Facebook page, Nigel Watson, and you can email me on nigelwatson1@gmail.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, keep doing the good work. You're very level-headed. You're not prejudiced one way or the other. We need sane, smart people like you looking into this who don't have an agenda and who aren't like buying into the shiny object syndrome like so many of us are. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for being guy on Guys Guys Radio. Forgive me for butting in so many times, but I really wanted to get to some of the key information from you for our audience, which is really just keep a level head about what's going on and don't fall into all of the noise. So thank you for being on the show, and keep doing your thing, Nigel Watson on Guys Guys Radio.
Great, thank you.
The
station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, a fascinating conversation about all about UFOs and alien phenomena with our special guest from Plymouth, UK, Nigel Watson. Again, the book is Portraits of Alien Encounters, and it's the revisited version because the original came out in 1990, and Nigel has kind of kept track and followed up on a lot of these cases and added a lot of new ones there. And what's interesting about Nigel is that instead of wrestling with theories and speculation, he really speaks directly with ordinary people who have reported these UFO sightings and a wide range of startling associated phenomena that in the past were considered by the UFO investigators as too far-fetched or crazy. You know, his decades-long research shows how UFO encounters can often escalate from simple sightings of lights in the sky to sightings of alien entities, robots, men in black, and angelic beings. But are they true? And it's interesting when we talked about Roswell and reverse engineering alien technology, and if there's a big Atlas ship heading our way, Nigel's not quick to jump on the bandwagon. He is a real researcher's researcher. He takes a step back. He reads about everything that's being said and talked about. He talks to people who have been involved in some of these things, and he makes his own determinations based on that. And he was less enthusiastic about some of the UFOs and ET possibilities than we hear from so many other resources or read about on social media or see on some of our TV shows. So really interesting topic and interesting guy, Nigel Watson from the UK on Guys Guys Radio. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.